Good morning, and welcome to the online edition of the preaching service of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and this week we're going to be studying healing on the Sabbath from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. And we've been studying verse by verse through the Gospel of John. So, starting chapter 5, and by way of introduction, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So, last week we studied the healing of the nobleman's son in John 4. And now on to John 5, and we'll study another miracle. John said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." That's John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. So these miracles were given so that we would believe in Jesus Christ. This was a miracle of divine deliverance. Now, when the Bible says it was a feast of the Jews, the Bible doesn't tell us what feast it was. Possibly it was Pentecost. There were three major feasts in the year that required Jewish men to attend: Passover, Pentecost, and Purim. And this was probably Pentecost. That's what most people think. But we don't know for sure. Now, the first thing we're going to see is the deliverance place in verses 2 through 4. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, this verse, verse 4, is not supported by the oldest existing manuscripts that we know of. However, the early church father Tertullian mentioned it several hundred years before our oldest manuscripts were written. He said, "If it seems a novelty for an angel to be present in waters, an example of what was to come to pass has forerun. An angel, by his intervention, was wont to stir the pool at Bethesda. They who were complaining of ill health used to watch for him. For whoever had been the first to descend into the waters after his washing ceased to complain." So something had to be happening at the pool, otherwise people would not wait there for deliverance. People were being healed. Also, the Jews believed that there was an angel that stirred the waters, thus what Tertullian wrote. So now, about the pool of Bethesda, and we're going to read from Warren Wiersbe. And he says, "When you visit St. Anne's Church in Jerusalem, they will show you the deep excavation that has revealed the ancient pool of Bethesda. The Hebrew name Bethesda has been spelled various ways and given differing meanings. Some say it means house of mercy or house of grace, but others say it means place of the two outpourings. There is historical and archaeological evidence that two adjacent pools of water served this area in ancient times." Now, the Bible Knowledge Commentary adds, "The excavations of the pool near the Sheep Gate have uncovered five porticos, or covered colonnades, confirming the accuracy of the description given here in the fourth gospel. The pool was actually two pools next to each other." So, here's an example of an ancient pool carved into stone. So, these could be very deep and somewhat like a modern pool. Now on to the second thing that we'll look at, and we want to look at the deliverance person, in verses 5 through 9. "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now that's a long time to have an infirmity, 38 years. Can you imagine it? "When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Now Jesus wanted this man to state whether or not he wanted to be healed. Not everyone wants deliverance. There was a woman that lived in Arequipa, Peru, and my wife lived there for a while, and so she had met this woman several times, and the woman went around, she was an older woman, she went around with a medical bill or a pharmacy bill, and she was trying to get money for her son's sickness. And so my wife knew she was a professional beggar, and so the woman came up to her one time and said, please, please, money for my son, he's very sick. And my wife said in Spanish, you know, I live here. I know who you are, lady. And I know that you don't really have a sick son. And so the woman turned around irritated and walked off. But the thing is, not everyone wants to be lifted out of their bad circumstances, because troubles and hardships are useful to invoke sympathy from others, and beggars made money in Bible times by getting sympathy. Now, in this case, Jesus doesn't offer sympathy, but he offers a solution. Do you want to be healed? Do you want deliverance? Do you want to be healed? Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So he had been there so long that he was focused on the water rather than on the question, will you be made whole? It's sad. For many years, he'd had no one to put him in the water. He watches others get healed, but never him. Life is unfair. But that day, life was unfair in a good way. Sometimes life is unfair in a good way. Christ didn't heal anyone else at Bethesda that day that we know of. He only healed this man. It was unfair, but it's what the man needed. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. I've been in a situation like this before. Maybe you have. You're stuck in something bad, a bad situation, and you see others getting help, and no one helps you. And you cry out to God, Help me! This man thought he was beyond help. And then Jesus showed up, and Jesus tells him to get up and walk. And sometimes that's the solution. God gives you the strength to get up and walk out of the situation. And that's what happened to me 5 years ago. My life was stuck, and I was miserable, and God gave me the strength to get up and walk out. So Jesus commands the man to do what he can't do. But of course, when God commands the dead to rise, they arise. So the lame man, when he was commanded by Christ to walk, he can walk. Now Jesus told him, take up thy bed and walk. And this was a violation of the Sabbath laws. And that's going to become important. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now John Calvin wrote, This diseased man does what almost all of us are wont to do, for he limits the assistance of God according to his own thought, and does not venture to promise to himself anything more than he conceives in his mind. Christ forgives his weakness, and in this we have a mirror of what forbearance, of that forbearance, of which every one of us has daily experience, when on the one hand, we keep our attention fixed on the means which are within our reach, and when, on the other hand, contrary to expectation, he displays his hand from hidden places and thus shows how far his goodness goes beyond the narrow limits of our faith. So how many times have we seen God give deliverance in some way that we never would have expected? We have it all worked out. This is what needs to happen. And then something that we never expected takes place, and it works out better. And that's what happened to this beggar. Now we see the deliverance problem in verses 10 through 13. Now there is an important scripture in Jeremiah that pertains to this. And Jeremiah 17:21 says, "Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem." So Jeremiah said, don't bear a burden on the Sabbath day. The Jews took this commandment and added many regulations to it. It was illegal to carry a mat that you would sleep on the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Now, you see, and you're going to see as we read on, how these Jews thought. They were so focused on the minutiae of their laws and regulations that they missed the big picture. This guy had been healed. That was a miracle. That had to be a work of God. But they didn't care because he was violating their laws and their regulations. And sometimes people can get so set in their rules and their denomination and the way their church operates that they're upset when God does a work somewhere else. They think, well, God couldn't have done that because it wasn't done by us in our way. And so that's what happened with these people. He answers them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. So he's saying, what can I say about it? I've been sitting here lame for 38 years and this guy heals me. He told me to take up the bed and walk, so it's not my fault. If you want to blame somebody, blame the guy that healed me. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. So Jesus kind of snuck out of there, and so he didn't know who it was. Now we see the deliverance proclamation in verses 14 through 18. Afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So, sickness is a result of the fall of man, which was caused by sin. However, not all sickness is caused by the sick person's sinful actions. Lots of good people get sick as well as bad ones. However, in this case, the man's sickness was caused by sin. Now, sin no more would have been understood by the man to mean, don't go back to doing what caused this in the first place. It didn't mean, don't commit any sin ever again. It meant, don't go back to doing what caused this. We don't know if Jesus is referring to a sinful thing that happened 38 years ago that caused this, or if he was referring to the fact that the man had laid there for so many years with no one to help him. Perhaps his sin had driven everyone away and nobody wanted to help him. So Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And so there are worse things than being unable to walk and being abandoned by everyone. So Jesus warns him to change his way of living. And indeed, there is something much worse than this, and that is dying in your sins and being separated from God forever in hell. That's a much worse thing. And so, we can't quit sinning because it's impossible to quit sinning. And Jesus said, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so there's no way to get into God's kingdom. There's no way to go to heaven based on our own goodness because we're all sinners. And so what we have to have is a righteousness that's outside of ourselves. And so what God does is when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, God takes the righteousness of Christ and he places it on our account. That's called imputation. He imputes Christ's righteousness to us. He places it on our account. so that when God looks at us, he no longer sees our sin, but he sees Christ's righteousness, and he declares us to be righteous and holy in his sight. That's called justification, just as if I'd never been a sinner. God declares us to be righteous and holy in his sight. So even if this man did not get saved at that moment, this may have been God's grace extending to him that eventually led him to get saved. And God does things like that. God works in people's lives. Maybe that happened in your own life. Is that, when you were little, your mom took you to church, or your grandmother took you to church, and then you heard the gospel and you didn't get saved then, but then later on, God reminded you of that and you got saved. Now, what we see this man doing is he goes, and the Bible says the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. So here's the question. Was this man snitching on Jesus to keep himself out of trouble with the Jewish religious leaders, or was he witnessing for Jesus by telling them who it was that made him whole? We don't know. But we do know how they responded to this. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So the result of this conversation with the Jews was that they got Jesus' name and they went to persecute him. They even wanted to kill him, all because he violated their precious Sabbath day. And understand that the Pharisees were mad at Jesus because they saw him as a threat. If the people began to listen to him instead of them, they would lose their power and position. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Jesus said, "God's my Father, and he's working, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus is deliberately provoking the Jewish religious leaders. He heals on the Sabbath, then he claimed to be equal with God. This would ultimately result in the plot to crucify Jesus. But that was God's plan. So God worked deliverance from this man, for this man, who had been suffering for 38 years due to sin. God worked deliverance for him. And God wants to deliver you as well. He wants to forgive your sins and give you a fresh start. There is deliverance through Jesus Christ. Do you need deliverance? Do you need deliverance from sin? If so, Jesus Christ wants to deliver you. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. And if you'll put your faith in him today, he'll forgive your sins, he'll save you, and he'll change your life. He'll deliver you today. Do you need deliverance from disease? You know, it's not God's will to heal everyone, but God does still heal people. God's in the healing business. And so you can pray and God can heal you. And so, are you sick today? Do you need deliverance from some kind of disease? Well, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to heal you. Ask the church to pray for you. And God, it may be his will to deliver you from disease. Do you need deliverance from something going on in your mind? Depression, anxiety, all those things. God can deliver you from those things. Sometimes the devil just torments us. He sends demons to whisper things to us just to torment us. And we need deliverance from those things. And God, who delivered in biblical times, still delivers today. You know, I believe very strongly, and some of you may disagree with this, but I believe very strongly that there is a place for psychological medications and for people that need psychological help. I believe that, and that's why we have professionals that you can go to and get help for things like that. And so God works through them just like He works through doctors for medical issues. There are psychological issues that medications can be helpful with. But I also believe that there are people who are being oppressed by the devil, just like you see in the Bible. You see things like that happening, and there's people that struggle with those things, and it's not all solved by taking medication. Sometimes they need deliverance through the Lord. And I'm not talking about some kind of Pentecostal stuff that you would see on television. I'm talking about God, in answer to prayer, delivering you. And it's not wrong for you as a Christian, if you're being tormented by the devil and by different things going on in your life, to go to the church and say, I need prayer, I need help. And for God to come and deliver and to give you deliverance, because God wants to deliver. The same God yesterday, today, and forever. And the greatest thing that Jesus did for this man was not the healing, though that was a great thing, but the greatest thing He did for him was to say to him, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee, because by doing that, he is extending grace to him. He is saying, hey, there's something wrong with the course you've been going down all these years. There's something wrong with it. Now, you've met me, my name is Jesus, and I've healed you, but you need a change. And we hope that eventually that led to that man recognizing Jesus Christ as the Messiah and believing in Him and being delivered from his sins by faith in Jesus Christ. And I hope that'll do that for you today, for someone that's listening that's never been saved, that you will put your faith in Jesus today, or someone that's doubting their salvation, that you'll put your faith in Jesus and have assurance of your salvation today. Deliverance. Do you need deliverance? Well, God heals, even if it's on the Sabbath day, when religious people say, oh, you can't do that. But Jesus works. He's sovereign. He does what He wants to, and He heals. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these thy people. I thank You for the work You're doing. I do pray that those who are listening that need Your deliverance, that You would heal them and deliver them today. For we ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen.